sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 114, Worshipping Violent Men. Take one. You know, they got me trapped in this prison of seclusion. Happiness living on the street is a delusion. Even a spoof criminal one day must get caught. Shot up and shot down with the bullet that he bought. 9mm kicking, thinking about what the streets do to me, cause they never taught peace in the black community. All we know is violence. Do the job in silence.
Message.
Walk the city streets like a rat pack of tyrant. Too many brothers daily headed for the big pen. Niggas coming off worse off than they went in. Over the years, I've done a lot of growing up, getting drunk, throwing up, cuffed up. Then I said I had enough. There must be another route way out of to the money and fame. I changed my name, played a different game. Tired of being trapped in this vicious cycle. If one more cop harasses me, I just might go psycho. And when I get him, I hit him with the bum rush. Only a lunatic would like to see a skull crush. If you're smart, you'll really let me go, jeep. But keep me cooped up in the ghetto and catch the Uzi. Damn. Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, aka Beat Blizzard, aka B.Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Bear with me, I'm trying to get comfortable in this seat. Right. Before I start the show, I want to welcome you new listeners, but also inform you, I got to let you know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is, October 1st, 2023, and it's 6:37 p.m. on the Sabbath day. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. And this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay, I don't know why. You know what? Oh, there we go. Yeah. The sound in my headphones are just a little weird today. You know what? You guys can't tell, but I'm wearing a, because I'm not recording myself, but I'm wearing a t-shirt of Death Row. Death Row t-shirt, and this motherfucker was a lot baggier when I first bought it, when I first purchased it. Damn you, COVID. All right, okay. So just to, welcome you new listeners. And every show, my show are broken down into three acts, three parts, or acts, if you will. First one is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Second one is news and random thoughts. And last is final thoughts. In the introduction, I just like to, you know, play the theme song, introduce the show, warn white people about the kind of show that it is. And, you know, like, let them know that, you know, this show has mature themes. What is that noise? Okay, sorry. You can hear the fan. I can hear the fan in my headphones. Anyways, yeah. Also, in the introduction, I like to do things like bring up dates, but this time I don't have dates, but I do have a quote. Today's quote goes, it says, I got it from Instagram, it goes, people in therapy are often in therapy to cope with people in their lives that won't go to therapy. I'm going to send that out to everyone, all my friends who, okay, some of my friends, I made the mistake of telling them that I'm in therapy, and that automatically puts them, makes them feel like, oh, you're sick. It's the equivalent of telling them, oh, you're in the hospital. Oh, you brought, you know, it's you're taking, they don't see it as you're taking care of yourself. They're saying, oh, something's wrong with you. And yeah, I'm going to dedicate that quote to a lot of them, to all of them. The world would be a better place if everyone went into therapy. I'll leave it at that. All right, that's the introduction. So let's just jump to, oh man, let's just jump to news and random thoughts, all right? Okay, let's go. Ooh, thirstier than usual. I just had a smoothie, and I don't know. It's I'm feeling a little, I'm not feeling energized. Maybe it's because it's warm in this freaking room. If you live in the NCR, National Capital Region, the weather is like inconsistent for a fall weather. Like it's going to be warm. And yeah, today is warm. Yeah, it's just no exception. Today is warm. I want to send a shout out to my homegirl, Jay, the homie Jay, who went camping. Holy fuck. I see a warm weather and I'm like, open the window. She sees a warm weather, she's going camping. And that's, you know, people are different. We all got our own differences. I want to acknowledge today is also Sunday of a long weekend. So Sunday, tomorrow is a stat holiday and it's in Canada, right? Yeah, all over Canada. And we got this thing called National Day of Truce and Reconciliation. And the way I look at it, it's a time for white people to reflect on how shitty they've been to indigenous people. Nah, it's, you know, I want to compare this holiday to like Juneteenth in the United States. In a sense that I'm grateful for the holiday. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy we have the holiday. It is technically a step forward in this country to be able to, that they able to acknowledge shit that they back in the day would have never acknowledged. That's the progress. But on the flip side, and again, I'm not complaining. I'm just putting it out there. On the flip side, I gotta acknowledge the fact that white people shouldn't get the day off. I'm just saying. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, should I get the day off? No, but I'm just saying it's, man, shout out to my indigenous brothers and sisters, my siblings, indigenous sisters, oh my God, siblings. And yeah, I just realized I don't have anything orange. And you're supposed to wear orange on this day, but it is what it is. Very nice little day in truth and reconciliation. You know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. Next, I got on my agenda. Yeah, I think this is just a you must learn for you non-Canadians. Okay, here we go.
You must learn.
Yeah, National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. It's always on the last Friday of the month? Or, oh, each year, September 30th. Every September 30th, that's what we got here. All right? I know, yeah, okay. Next item I got on the rundown sheet is Message Noir Explained. And you know what? I'm just going to play it. And I don't think there's anything I can add to it. But for those of you who don't understand Message Noir, here we go. Oops. Here we go.
I have friends that are women. I even have women in my family. Shit, my mom's a woman. Some of them I have sex with, some of them I love, so how can I be a racist? I mean, sexist. I mean, walking around with their asses out, fancy shoes, suggestive outfits, how can I not think they all aren't thugs? I mean, walking around with their asses out, fancy shoes, suggestive outfits, how can all of them be deserving of my respect and love? I mean, I respect and love my daughter. Shit, she's half black, so how can I be a racist? I mean, she's half of me, so how can I be a sexist? I just won't have her walking around like the women I take advantage of, the women I like to fuck, the ones who dress like they sell drugs, I mean the thugs. I mean, what do you mean my racism is like sexism? I'm not even race, I mean sexist. I love my black queens. Mm. Just not all of y'all are queens. Mm. And I get to choose which ones I love and which ones I abuse, even though I ain't shit. I mean, I love black people. Mm. I just hate niggers. He wanted it. Standing there asking me to mind his business. He should have just showed me his ID. I mean, she wanted it. Standing there asking me to give her the business. I mean, she should have just showed her ID. I mean, he committed a crime. He shouldn't have been black. He shouldn't have talked back. So, of course, she deserved to be shot at. I mean, she shouldn't have been drinking. So, it wasn't really rape. She didn't just respond to my advances. So, of course, she deserved to be shot at. I mean, how is it police brutality when you commit a crime? His body is not his if it's lying in the street. I mean, how is it rape when you're already mine? Her body is not hers if it's lying in the fetal position. I mean, black people are lazy and just not as smart. They need our direction. I mean, women are weak and just not as smart. They need our direction. I mean, I have friends that are women.
Oh, man. Hold on a second. This is part two? Okay, so this is supposed to be part one. Hold on a second. I really wanted to, should have said it's a poem, and I really wanted you to hear the... is what I get for not sticking. This is what I get for playing the original TikTok clip. All right, okay. Okay, I'm going to play this again, but I'm going to play the original clip. Not the original clip, but the other part of the poem. And here we go.
How is it police brutality when you commit a crime? His body is not his if it's lying in the street. I mean, how is it rape when you're already mine? Her body is not hers if it's lying in the fetal position. I mean, black people are lazy and just not as smart. They need our direction. I mean, women are weak and just not as smart. They need our direction. I mean, black bodies were only built for hard work. I mean, women's bodies were only built for childbirth. I mean, boy. I mean, female. I mean, I don't understand why I can't call you guys that when you call each other that. I mean, I don't understand why I can't call you that when it's a scientific fact. I mean, black people have nothing to offer, but I still love their culture and the ones that I can have sex with. I mean, gays have nothing to offer the black community, but I still love lesbians, right. The ones that I can have sex with. I mean, prison overseer, I mean, polygamist. I mean, there's only one race, the human race, so all lives matter. I mean, you are black first, so concentrate on that. I mean, stop blaming the white community for your mistakes. There's nothing holding y'all back. Look at Oprah. I mean, stop blaming black men for your mistakes. There's nothing holding y'all back. Look at Oprah. I mean, white women are just more attractive. I mean, light-skinned women are just more attractive. I mean, you're a reverse racist. Every single time something doesn't go your way, you all want to pull the race card. I mean, you must hate men. Every single time something doesn't go your way, you all want to pull the rape card. I mean, Daniel Hostlaw couldn't have raped all those women. I mean, Bill Cosby couldn't have raped all those women. I mean, being a black woman is like standing in the middle of an intersection where racism and sexism collide. Boom. Thank you again, Houston. I love you.
Powerful. Okay, this came from Juan Poetry, but I kind of wanted to know the actual name of the... That's why I go on TikTok, to get actual detail about the actual artist. And let's see if I can find her name. You know what? The links will be in the show notes.
I have friends that are women.
Okay, and the name is... Oh, is this it? Okay, let me see if I got this right. That's you? Holy shit. Killage Lacey. Oh, wait, what? Hold on a second. Oh, shit. I had no idea that I make a living off wit, writing poetry. Oh, shit. Okay, I'm a funny guy. Okay, the reason I'm, you know what? Doesn't matter. Links will be in the show notes to what you just heard. Links will be in the show notes. Only thought that I will share, I can't add to what she said about massage noir. What I do like, what I can add is remembering what she said about being a black woman. It's like being at an intersection of racism and sexism. And I remember sharing a thought that a sister told me about how black women show out more for black men than black men do. I remember just writing that on Facebook, a Facebook post, and how I got attacked by two people for it. And one of them was ain't shit black dude that I've heard shitty things about before. So that I wasn't expecting. The next person to attack me for it was a black woman. And I think she took, to this day, I still don't understand what her angle was. Maybe she figured like there were black women out there who were misusing the black, the pro-black movement, and she was coming from, I don't know, but I remember being attacked for it, like getting a strong response for it. When I say attack, they rejected the thought. And the words they used, it wasn't just, I see your point, but, or it wasn't just, I disagree. It was like, fuck you for writing that shit type of response. And it caught me off guard, and it had me thinking of, I don't think I've gotten, this is what I'm about to say. I don't think I've gotten that kind of rejection for speaking against racism, for acknowledging racism. But the reality is, when it comes to racism, I've just gotten so used to it that I've pretty much filtered out. If I'm speaking against racism and a white person objects to it, it's too easy. It's ain't shit they can tell me that's gonna make me be like, you know what? Let me rethink my views on racism. But because it came from black people, misogyny, and I was attacked for it, like I remember, there was a moment where I started to question what I wrote, whether I was wrong for writing it. Anyway, who knew, man? The hatred against black women is real. And that post fucking confirmed it for me. But anyways, here we are. Then again, I gotta remember that one guy who came after me was like, psychotic, like fucked up in the head. Like if I saw him in the streets, I would be in like fight or flight mode. I'm like, no fucking conversations, keep it moving. And you make any sudden moving, and that's your any sudden movement that I don't like, it's your ass. But anyway, yeah, that's where we're at. I don't know if you could tell. Yeah, I was complaining about this T-shirt. Now it's my throat. I probably mentioned this on the last episode, but I'm still. I'm acting like I'm over it, but it's still, I feel like I'm getting over a cold. That's what I'm trying to say. And recording this podcast, I'm realizing, damn, I'm drained. So I'm fighting right now. I'm fighting this cold. I'm fighting this white man's cold. I don't know if I got it from a white man, but whatever. What else do I have? You know what? Random thought. It just hit me. I can't remember what someone said, but Twitter's going bad, man. Twitter is going fucking, it's like downhill. I think Elon Musk bought Twitter the same way big company buys another company just to shut it down. But it's a slow death. He's giving it a slow death. With that said, this is in response to a tweet that I heard, but I guess I should share it. Not a tweet, a TikTok clip. And this dude breaks down on how Elon Musk is just one toxic human being to Twitter. And he mentions how, like, yo, the Nazis on Twitter are, like, helping him. Because the Nazis are there to provoke people like me to read their posts and get angry and then respond to them. And it just hit me. It's not just the Nazis who are toxic on their... My Twitter timeline is literally littered with posts from these fake ass pro-black. They ain't pro-black. They like pro-me type black folks. And anything they're about, that's the only thing that matters about black people. It's like, they might be black American and they'll be like, yo, fuck that. We're the only people important. Like, it's like, they want to acknowledge their individuality as maybe a Black Americans, but they do so by repressing everyone else. It's like, it's basically fuck them other niggas because I die for my niggas. It's whatever complaint they have, like anti-immigrant statement, like holy shit, like they have you question. I used to think that Black was Black, and these asshole, you know, I don't even know if they're actually human being. But what is important is their posts are on my timeline, and I just ignore it. But it's just like littered with it. It's like Elon Musk figured out Black people and said, you know what? I'm going to surround you with the kind of Black folks that you hate. But anyway, yeah, man. It's fucking Twitter's a cesspool. That's the part of this tweet. Twitter's a cesspool. Yeah. Next article I got is, okay, first let me get some context. There was Papoose, the picture image of Papoose floating all over the internet, and I had no idea why, so I'm going to play this article to get some context and then share my thoughts, okay? So here we go. Hold on, how does it work? Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Papoose spotted at Busta Rhymes event amid Remy Ma affair rumors.
Oh, shit.
Papoose was in attendance at Busta Rhymes' career celebration event in New York City on Monday night amid rumors that his partner, Remy Ma, cheated on him with battle rapper Easy the Block Captain.
Who?
A video of Papoose arriving at the event is circulating on social media. Just got finished crying in the car, one user joked when Too Cool 2 Block posted the clip on Instagram. Another theorized that the lack of Remy Ma at the event should be a concern. Okay, now I think something is up because there's no reason why Remy wouldn't or shouldn't be with him at an event for Busta Rhymes.
Right.
Read more. Easy the Block Cap. Papoose and Remy Ma attend BET Hip Hop Awards. Okay. Atlanta, Georgia, October 1st. The rumors of infidelity in the relationship began back in June when reports surfaced that there was a confrontation between Papoose and Easy at a Chrome 23 event.
Damn.
Gigi Gotti apparently referenced the affair while battling Easy. Remy shot down the rumors on Twitter afterward. I'd like to apologize to everyone that was disappointed tonight because we couldn't get three full rounds from all the opponents. I tried, and can y'all please stop with the Easy and Pap lies, she tweeted at the time. There's no place like Chrome. Right back at it. See y'all in August, hashtag Chrome23. Check out Papoose's appearance in New York City from Monday night below.
Okay, I really hope they are rumors. Here go. Oh, fuck. Black people just make it worse. Okay, Black folks are making it worse. Okay, Papoose arrives without Remy Ma. Okay, one last paragraph. Here we go.
Tasha K added fuel to the fire last week by sharing a photo allegedly featuring Remy and Easy on a date together. Remy also recently said that she was comfortable with Gigi Gotti's original accusation because that's to be expected in battle rap. I'm comfortable. Listen, it's battle rap, she said in a clip posted by the Neighborhood Talk. I'm used to it, like, it's to be expected. It's not the first time somebody said my name in one of their rounds. Read more.
All right, okay. So all this, what inspired all, hold on a second. Yeah, man, okay.
Donna, when?
Yeah. December. Pat, one shot right here.
Okay, yeah, all right. All this comes from going through Twitter, my Twitter timeline, and seeing images of Papoose and the look on his face. It's like, yeah, he does look like a man whose heart was recently broken. Well, that's the image that I'm seeing. Now, I really hope those rumors are just rumors and it's false. And whatever issues they're having as a couple, it's just issues. It's just a kind of like... Honestly, the only reason I'm sharing this story and digging into this story is because that look on Papu's face. It's heartbreaking, man. As a highly sensitive person, man, that look on his face was like heartbreaking. And here's hoping things work out between those two. Rumors are rumors, people ain't shit, and whatever they're going through, I hope they make it through together. All right, okay, leave it at that. Man, I'm kind of regretting sharing this story. All right, because you're not angry enough, how about this? So NPR has a story on There we go. Yes, I'll do it. Okay, they got their own read section. The title goes, white people feared COVID less after learning other races were hit hardest, data show. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play the article again. Play the article.
Could it be that white people, made aware that COVID is hurting black and brown people more than anyone else, start to care less about the virus themselves? New research suggests yes. Here's NPR's Adrian Florido.
Earlier in the pandemic, when COVID's rampage through black and brown communities first started getting lots of press, Allison Skinner-Dorkanu wondered whether all that attention could be a problem.
Thinking about the way in which it could actually sort of associate the virus with people of color and making white people less concerned about COVID-19.
Skinner-Dorkanu is a University of Georgia psychologist, and to find out whether this was actually happening, she and colleagues designed a study. They asked white people how aware they were of COVID's racial disparities, and then later, how much they feared COVID.
What we found was that the more people perceived there to be racial disparities, the less fearful they were of COVID-19, and the less they supported safety precautions to prevent the spread.
The findings, published in the journal Social Science and Medicine, didn't exactly surprise Skinner-Dorkanu. There's a long history of social psychology research showing white Americans tend to be less concerned about problems that mostly affect non-white people. But the results did concern her. Could it be that all the attention paid to COVID's racial disparities has prolonged the pandemic?
We need to try and figure out how we can make people aware of disparities so that they can be addressed without having this kind of backfire effect that potentially even exacerbates them.
I do think that has implications for public health messaging, and those are troubling implications.
LaFleur Stevens-Dugan is a Princeton political scientist. She also surveyed white people early in the pandemic with similar findings. And she's wondered whether part of the solution might be more humanizing public health campaigns.
I'm not saying that we need to humanize people of color more to make them more sympathetic for people to do what's right for society.
Right.
But if, you know, stark facts result in this backlash effect, then we have to think creatively about what might attenuate some of that backlash.
That's hard, she says, because of the ways that racism, notions of individualism, and politics have all factored into people's feelings about the pandemic.
It's so complex, right?
Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford is a director of anti-racism initiatives at Massachusetts General Hospital. She thinks the approach must start by engaging people who say they don't care about COVID safety measures.
To test out certain things on them to see if their emotion is moved, right? We know that what drives people particularly in this domain is emotion. So how do you get to their gut?
They're questions public health experts, she says, are just starting to grapple with. Adrian Florido, NPR News.
And now, more from NPR.
Now, as someone who's used to white people, I'm not surprised that the whole white people stop giving a fuck once they realize that, oh, it doesn't hurt us. It hurts them more than it hurts us. Yeah, man, fuck the mandate. Let's go back to normal. I'm not surprised by that part. I'm just thinking about how in Canada, like in Canada, rather the people, look, all I'm thinking about how in Canada, shit got so real that motherfuckers like occupied downtown, like drove trucks and made themselves to be hero, drove trucks and treated like the mandates like they were unfair. And fuck, it just made me so angry, man. I don't know what makes it worse, that I couldn't, the ignorance, or that I couldn't explain it to them. Like, but anyways, it just made me so angry that motherfuckers went as far as to lock down downtown, trucks everywhere, and they had help from the some police officers and that shit. And I don't know. Yeah, man, these motherfuckers protested over this shit. And it's not the protest that bothers me. It's more the, we don't give a fuck. I don't know. I guess it's, What am I trying to get at? A, I'm not surprised at this research. I get, right. It's funny. I'm not surprised at the research, but it gives me an extra reason to be angry at the fucking occupation. Like, I wasn't downtown. I wasn't the poor person who had to hear those honks all the time. But, yeah, you know what really made me angry? It's more of the black folks who joined them. I say white people and their allies. This article should be white people and their allies feared COVID less after learning that other races were hit hardest, data shows. All right, last but not least. Okay, I label this one as something Joy Reid said. And Joy Reid's about to pretty much makes me realize that, you know what, let me just play it and I'll take it from there. Basically, Joy Reid's going to speak about politics, the current state of politics. Here we go.
The bigger conversation that we need to have that isn't really just about the Republicans. Like, are we at the end of politics? Because, you know, it is a really brilliant point that the Republican Party exists in a world in which demographically six out of the seven last presidential elections, they can't win the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because demographically and the dispersion of multiracial communities makes it very hard for them to win through conventional politics. The things they want to do, ban abortion, highly unpopular. When you put it through politics, you put it through an election, they can't win that. The things they want to do on guns, 70-some-odd% of Americans don't agree with it. So they have to force these things through anti-democratic means. Voter suppression is the only way. Gerrymandering is the only way they can actually get what they want, because what they want is so unpopular that when you put their ideas through the political process, they can't win. And the frustration and the rage, not being able to ban all immigrants and get all the quote-unquote illegals out, you can't do it, right? Because logistically, it's impossible. It's also unpopular, ruins businesses in Florida. So if you think about it, all of politics mm-hmm. has enraged a certain group of Americans who cannot win through politics. And so what do you go to? You go to autocracy. I'm not sure that Democrats and Biden have an answer to what do you do when something like 40% of American adults have given up on politics and say politics isn't the answer. Give me a strong man who can impose my minority positions on the rest of you, on women. We're going to make women give birth. We're going to make you do it because you don't want to do it and politics won't allow me to make you do it. How do we solve for this? This is actually a fundamental problem.
Okay, but they're not participating in politics and policy in the same way that Fox News is no longer covering news or politics. It's grievance media. And this takes us back to who is standing behind Donald Trump, who is the mastermind behind his first campaign. It was Steve Bannon, who very clearly said, let's just break the system. And that's what they're doing.
Well, and the media hasn't figured it out either. Let's just be honest. Wow. The mainstream media, Fox set them aside. They're just the Republican Party's voice.
I mean, those of us complaining about Joe Biden's sneakers?
This is what I'm saying. The media can't figure out how to do something other than conventional politics from like the 90s. Right. And so they're like, both sides, both sides, both sides. If we say Donald Trump is corrupt, well, we must cover Hunter Biden equally. If we say, you know, we have to even Steven it, we have to find something to say because we have to say Trump is corrupt. We have to say Trump is violent. So let's talk about the sneakers. Biden is old. They're the same age, but we act as if Biden's age is equal to Donald Trump's threat. And right. The media hasn't figured out how to do this either. So it's like the whole system is busted. And I honestly don't think the media has an answer for it. I don't think Democrats have an answer. They're going to do a campaign, right? A regular campaign against that.
Damn, that was loud. Sorry. Hey, I don't know if that burst here. That burst my headphones, my eardrums. Are we at the end of politics? See, here's the thing you kids don't understand, right? When politics stop working, it's old school violence. Wow, worshiping violent men. Anyway, it's old school violence. It's take it to the street. It's pretty much fuck the whole civilized society. We're going back to my way or the highway. But it's interesting that Trump shows up. I'm thinking about it as, people, he presents himself as an idiot, but that dude exploited a weakness in the current state of politics. It's to the point that his party is like, fuck, we got to catch up with this asshole. So it's an interesting point by the point of Joy Reid. Excuse me. Are we at the end of politics? Because it's starting to feel like on one end, you got motherfuckers who don't vote, which is a lot of people. And I'm not going to sit here to lecture you about why you should vote, but it's a fact. There are people out there who've convinced themselves that, yeah, voting ain't going to change shit. On the other side, conservatives, they only win when enough people don't vote because they're the party of unpopular idea. They don't have your back. They're smoke and mirrors and whatnot. The liberals, shit. You know what? I can't get into the ins and outs of the liberals. The point is not to make them, they're the good guys or the bad guys. But I'm saying liberals are the party of the people who fucking think. Problem is people who think to a point, expect some kind of perfection. Expect, it's like, yes, I want you to replicate my liberal values, but I also want you to ignore how to win this fucking game. Because politics is ugly, man. Politics is ugly. It's not ideal. We act like it's ideal, like truth and shit matters. No. Man, okay, I don't have much thoughts in it. All this to say that as much as you might dislike politics, but you get rid of politics, someone has to steer this ship. And that somebody can just take it upon themselves to be like, holler at your friend who moved here from a country that had a dictator. And they can explain to you how it's like when politics stop working and one asshole takes control of the whole thing and says, you know what? My way or the highway. By the way, I'm fucking your wife every Wednesday. What's that? You're mad? Anyway, yeah. Just one hand gesture and you're gone. All right, what else do we got? Okay, that's it. That's it for user random thoughts. Check out the other link section on the show notes. It's a bunch of links that I could have shared with you, but you know what? In the interest of time, I'm just going to let you check it out for your own self. Just links that I thought were interesting, just whatever, right, that I just wanted to share with you. With that said, let's jump to final thoughts, and so then I could go back and lie on the couch and drink some tea and get my voice back. All right? Okay, let's go. Hey, you know what? I didn't bring this up, but I just finished listening to episode. Damn it! Hold on a second. Episode. Hold on a second. Why is my chest doing this? Episode 2778. Pickup lines of the Black Guy Who Tips, and it's their feedback show, and I felt good because they read my email that I sent came in. They read it out, and it was taken exactly how I sent it, and it feels good, man. Like I could sense the gratefulness for the message, and it just made it worthwhile, man. And yeah, man, their city, Charlotte, is a beautiful city, man. Beautiful city. I mean, I'm bold enough to say greater than New York. You know, there was a time where I used to think all of the United States was one big-ass New York because that's all I knew about the United States. When I was younger, I used to travel to the States, and it was always New York, and I thought everything was like New York. And New York stressed me out. Anyways, going to Charlotte pointed out how wrong I was about that. I mean, going to California did that for me. But yeah, but Charlotte is its own... Wow. Black utopia. I mean, I thought Atlanta had black folks. I mean, okay, Atlanta does have black folks, but Charlotte is like the Ottawa of black folks. For black folks. A pretty city, nice city. Well, okay, except I don't like Ottawa, so that's a bad example. But it's one thing I will say about Ottawa it's a clean city. These motherfuckers go out of their way. Like, it's to the point that I get mad if you litter in front of me. Anyway, yeah, okay. Final thoughts. What's up with today's title? Okay. Well, just to start off by that first verse that I read, that verse that I read was from Tupac's track, Trapped. And I thought it was symbolic because I've been thinking a lot about Tupac this week. Shout out to my homegirl Val for, see, in the news this week, in the news cycle, is how an arrest was made in response to, in regards to Tupac's death. Now, when it comes to Tupac news, I usually ignore it because, I don't know, I guess I just want, it's my way of establishing closure, and I'm tired of hearing that, hey, we think we found someone and all kinds of detail. But anyways, it looks like it's confirmed that they found someone. His name is, hold on a second. I was going to say Schooly D. No, his name is, doesn't matter. Oh, actually, yeah, okay, I have the link for the article. The name of the character is, apparently they arrested some dude who's some gang leader, and he had, he was involved in, oh my God, Tupac's death. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get his name. Okay, yes, update. Court noted proof is evident and ordered no bail indictment warrant issued and matter set of arraignment for Dwayne Keefe D. Davis in involvement in Tupac's murder. Here the thing is, I remember, I was high when I heard the news, but so the news hit me harder. So I was listening to the details on CNN about his murder and Keefe D's involvement. And bottom line is, I remember the first thought was, live by the sword, die by the sword. I've been thinking a lot about the fact that the thing that I admired about Tupac is what killed him. The idea that he is just another statistic to the list of black men who died by gun violence or just violence. And I don't know. I've been thinking about the idea that, is that all Tupac was for me? Is that why I admired him? Initially, I was thinking of calling this episode Dick Riding Violent Men. Actually, it's just going to be Violent Men. And then I was like, worshiping violent men. Like, I have no idea where I'm trying to go with this. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. But I do know that growing up, saying shit to me like violence doesn't accomplish anything always felt like bullshit. I always had an admiration for men who were violent. Now, I gotta be careful. Not violent towards their girlfriend. You didn't get any pass from that. But like violence, you had a reputation. Like people knew that you weren't scared to throw hands. And the thing about it is, I was the complete opposite of it. I acted like I could get violent, but the truth was, nah, I was not that guy. And despite that, I've always had an admiration for, violent men. I don't know what that's about. Like, thinking of that line by Jay-Z goes, Jay-Z ain't got no pops. Thank God I had the block. I'm thinking of my dad. My dad wasn't the violent type. And, I mean, it's kind of complicated. Okay, sometimes I wondered, it bothered me that I couldn't be one of those kids that could say, my dad could beat up your dad. It's as if I grew up believing that being a real man equals the ability to communicate using violence. And because I wasn't that, then it was always an insecurity on my part. Yeah, shout out to the people who know how to fight and don't spend who don't go out pretending, who know how to fight and don't spend their time trying to convince the world that they know how to fight. It's usually the asshole who doesn't know how to fight, who feels the need to constantly prove to everyone, I can fight, and gets into a fight with people. Yeah, where am I going with it? Yeah, I'm trying to have a mature reflection on, okay, again, all this started because the idea that Pac, it was, okay, you know what? I'm going to look up this word, anticlimactic. I'm going to look up this word, make sure it means what I think it means. Anticlimactic. And screw you, you English people who read books and knows what it means, who are impatient. Causing disappointment at the end of an excited, impressive series of events. Yeah, man. Finding out that, yeah, we found the gang leader who ordered his, or who was involved in his death. I like that more, the idea that he was assassinated, the CIA was involved, or that Suge Knight conspired to him not leaving the label, so he had him killed. Like all these freaking rumors that came out. That I enjoyed here. Like, it just gave Pac, like, it made him more, like, saintly. Like, a bunch of Jewish people conspired with some Italians to have him crucified. You know what I mean? Like Jesus. He went out like Jesus. So, that was anti-Semitic, was that? But I'm saying, I'd rather Pac having the death Jesus had than finding out that, it's like that Chris Rock joke. It's exactly what that Chris Rock joke. People kept coming up and saying, yo, Biggie and Pac, they were assassinated. They were assassinated. She said, look, Martin Luther King was assassinated. Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. Them two niggas just got shot. And, but that's the thing about Pac. That's what made him a legend, because he lived it. It's the idea that, look, the dudes who killed him, I don't give a fuck your celebrity. What matters is you violated. It's gun violence, man. It's like, yo, the trigger has no heart. Yeah, like they said, man, trigger has no heart. Like that saying, yo, that bullet has your name on it. Ain't shit you can do about it. I don't know. I'll get over it. But it's more the idea that, so does this make, finding this out, does this make Pac less special to me now? No, this, I'm going back to my fascination with violent men while not being a violent man. I was in a situation, that's why it hurt, man. I was in a situation once where I was with, instead of telling you the story, I'm going to share a thought is, I was joking around. I was talking to some friends, male friends, and I said, could you be with a girl? Could you be with a girl after she's seen you get beat up? And one friend, I love it. He was just honest about it. He goes, no, God, no. Fuck no. And that's the thing is, if you buy into the cult of masculinity, like me admitting the fact that I'm not the fighting type, makes me feel uncomfortable because I'm still caught up in the cult of masculinity. I don't think there's anything a woman would be able to tell me, my girlfriend at the time could tell me that would make me feel better. Oh, it's good. But that's just me. I'm confessing to be the toxic male in me. I remember there was some message group, might have been on Craigslist but doesn't matter. And someone asked the question, women, what's the word? Do you expect your man to fight or some shit like that? Or are you okay with the, all I remember is reading the answers and none of them felt sincere. Like, no, man doesn't have to fight for me and shit like that. And the whole time I'm reading, I was like, bullshit, whatever. If you see your man get beat up, your pussy's gonna dry up. So, yeah, exactly. Okay, I am trying to make peace with the fact, I still haven't learned how to make peace with the fact that I'm not the fighting type. I mean, I could be, I'm not venting here, but I'm saying the last time I got in a fight, all I remember is blacking out. Not from the fight, but I remember like it was outside of, I like to be somewhat in control of myself, unless I'm high. But violence, it was, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the version of me who's comfortable being violent looks like. And I'm actually scared of it. And I'm hoping I never have to be in that situation. Because I'm likely going to die, you know. But if I don't die, if I survive and end up being, like, I don't know what the version of me, the violent version of me looks like. And I prefer not knowing. This is me trying to figure out where I'm going with this whole worshiping violent men. Just how I grew up believing that that's the epitome of masculinity, violence. Anyways, kudos. Pierre Poilievre might get reelected, and then I may have to get accustomed with the violent version of myself. Be violent or die trying. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. I think I'm just going to end this. If you have thoughts yourself, are you the violent type? Does it bother you? If you are, does it bother you? If you're not the violent type, are you okay? Have you managed to make peace with it? Do you even give it any thoughts? I went for a walk today, and I was thinking about how these kids growing up, and they were just, their names were like legends, and it was dudes we heard about that were known for not taking shit from anyone. And basically, they were the violent type. They had problems with the cops. We'd hear stories about the last fight that they got in, people that they stabbed. Oh, they just got in jail. Oh, they got deported. And how these guys became legends to us. Why? Because their ability to be violent. Not because they cured cancer, not because they graduated with honors, not because they had a nice car. I mean, maybe they did, and they used violence to get that nice car, but I don't know. I'm honestly not trying to make a point. I'm not trying to say violence is bad, violence is good. I'm acknowledging the fact how I grew up admiring, have an admiration for men who could be violent. And bonus points if they could write a rhyme about it. If they could put it in a rap song. Yeah. And listening to them made me feel like I was embodying them. It was so weird. I made myself, you know what? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to finish this segment. I created this playlist for myself, right? I should probably share with y'all. And songs that I... 114, 25 songs. Yeah, Makes Sense by SD Muni. It all makes sense. I'm still with some violent men. Niggas Bleed. Yeah, Niggas Bleed. While I was thinking about Tupac dying from gun violence, I'm like, shit, Biggie was right. Niggas Bleed. Somebody's Gotta Die, Kicking the Door by Biggie. What's Beef? You're Nobody. Violent by Tupac. Crooked Ass Niggas. Yes. The Lunatic. Looking like a bitch because your whole fucking posse broke out. All Eyes on Me, Ambitious as a Writer, Five Deadly Venoms, The Streets of Death Row. There's a lot of songs that I'm missing out, but okay, everything else is all pop rhymes that made me think of violence. Death Around the Corner is definitely in there. So Many Tears. I don't know. I don't know. Would I have been up? Would my life been better if I was a violent person? I don't. Who knows? Whatever. Maybe I should be 32 in a karate class. We'll see. We'll see. All right. I got no other thoughts. I'm just going to conclude this episode. Hey, wow. It's really short. Just because I honestly have the longest part of today's episode, the hardest part of today's episode was deciding what introverse I was going to use. There was so much I could have picked from. And I went with Trap by Tupac because it's the first song I heard. It's the first. I remember that. I still remember the first time I heard that verse for the first time. And it was Love After First Hear. All right, my throat is dying. So I'm going to conclude. This concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, send me some feedback, talk to me. You can find me on these Twitter streets. Handle is at BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, at B.Black. Or, sorry about that, go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. That's where you'll find the show notes and all these beautiful links that I keep talking about. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Okay, Google, for a limited time, because Google is going down, they're shutting down. Anyways, whew, am I low on energy? My apologies, man. Yeah, you don't apologize when you make a program, but here's hoping I get better next week. And bring the thunder! All right, okay. With that said, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast, okay? Please be kind to your favorite podcast. Oh, I say peace? All right, peace.
I am your king now!